You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and John Hawksworth.
Fantastic Fleetwood claims playoff glory in Sun City, giving him the chance to become Europe's number one.
The closer it gets to the end of the season, the harder it gets to look at, you know, stay in the present, do your things, concentrate on what you do best. And I'm happy for the challenge. I feel like I'm very ready. I mean, I might go out next week and play terrible, but you know what? It's golf.
It certainly is golf, and we'll hear more from Tommy, as well as runner-up Marcus Shinault and former champion Lee Westwood, as we get some brilliant reaction from the Nedbank Golf Challenge. And after 46 tournaments, 31 countries and 4 continents, the climax of the European Tour is here, the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. We'll assess all the runners and riders, and we'll try and work out who's going to win everything and clean up in a few days' time. Hello, I'm Robert Lee. In the studio with me is former European Tour player Johnny Hawksworth. Johnny, good to have you back again. And you're looking well, may I say.
No, it's very kind of you.
Yeah?
Yes.
Enthused, are you?
Just finished my den for winter. Come on a treat, stocked it up.
The den?
Yes.
What? Are you...
Logs.
Nuclear fallout coming your way? What sort of waiting for?
And my
pandemic?
No. It's just like to take precautions where I live.
Baked beans and water, is that what you've stored?
No, logs, coal and the dog.
Excellent. And Matt, who's obviously Matt Cooper, a golf journalist. How are you, Matt? How long since I saw you?
A month and a half? Month and a half,
yeah.
Something like that, 4 or 5 weeks.
Have you grown as a person in that time?
Not so much as a person. I think my whiskers have grown a little bit.
They have, actually.
Yeah, I'm looking to try and capture the Santa Claus market.
Well, Christmas. You look a bit like Beau, actually, Shane Lowry's caddy.
Yes,
not
Dolly,
bad.
Dolly the sheep, if you don't mind me saying.
If you want a sort of mental picture of Matt Cooper, you think of Beau, who caddies for Shane Lowry, who, of course, will be competing in Dubai.
Well, Beau won't, but Shane will.
Yes, I've got them as a pair.
Ah, brilliant.
You don't get one without the other, generally.
We
and then he
hit it
he
in
doubled.
The lake.
Nedbank Golf Challenge, the Gary Player Design Country Club, is a special place to play golf.
Yeah, it is. I always like the shots of the wildlife around that golf course.
No, I like the golf better.
Yeah, I do.
After
like the golf.
After a while, you know, the 58th time you've seen a...
mongoose.
You know,
but, no, it's a great resource that's developed over the years. And, of course, Gary Player's some baby, if you like. I love it.
Have you been there, Matt?
I've not been there, but what I really enjoy watching golf though is we
the
know
animals.
We know the pin positions now.
Yeah,
so a little bit like,
you're right.
Yeah, every year we know what's coming up in the final round, where they're going to have to
attack. Bit Augusta-ish, isn't it?
Yes, there's a touch of that. Yeah.
And what about the clever green design? I mean, Gary must get a lot of credit for the clover leaf design that does afford you lots of individual pin positions,
and also some very tricky ones because they're invariably narrow. Mm. Was it the par 5, 14? It's only about 7 paces deep. When you're going in with a long club.
Well, on the front left it is.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's long, but the front left bit is, as you say, depth-wise, tiny.
Fleetwood hit a shot in there yesterday. It was ridiculous for his third eagle in 6 holes. But, yeah, I like the designs of the greens very much. He's going to tweak it again, of course.
Is he?
Mm.
What's he going to do to it?
Well, I think there's going to be a few more bunkers and maybe tees, because he was talking about the ball and everything and how far the ball goes, which is absolutely... He wants to rein the ball in 50 yards. Why don't they have a pro bowl like they do in every other sport? Snooker, squash,
because,
tennis.
I'll tell you why they don't have a pro bowl. The reason is that the golf ball companies put so much money into R&D. The sales point for them is you can use the same ball as Rory and Tiger and everyone else. That's their sales pitch.
Well, yes.
A tennis ball doesn't matter. It's just one out, but a golf ball is...
Yes, but, you know, the Opens at St Andrews in 2021, that golf course is obsolete. 9 holes will get driven if the weather's okay. 9 holes at St Andrews.
They're not going to drive 9 holes.
Yeah, though. They will.
Will they?
Yeah.
So at least there's 9 holes they can't reach then.
Is well, that's right, yeah.
And some of the ones that you're including are par 3s.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about 4s.
Oh, so we're down to about 4 holes you can't reach and 5 holes you can't reach.
Well, we'll see, but I mean...
That's rubbish, John.
In July, when it's warm...
Garbage.
No, I'm telling you, unless they put some more to... The ball has made the game ridiculous. Surely you agree.
The ball has... And the ball... It's 3 things. There's 3 elements to this. It's the ball. It's the massive-headed titanium drivers...
And NASA.
With lighter, longer shafts. And it's fitness. There's 3 elements to it, and you put all those 3 things together, and it all adds up to yardage, Matt. So, to John's point, do you think they have to rein the ball in, or it's just the way it is?
Well, I totally appreciate
your
point.
You can't keep stretching golf courses.
You can't, but the biggest problem is going to be if they said, we're now going to have a tournament ball, what are all the manufacturers going to say to that? Would they take...
It's too big an industry.
Yeah. The punters don't need to know that.
Well, they will know, won't they? because we'll talk about it.
And they found it
with the old ball, this has gone 40 yards further.
So suddenly discovering that John Rahm's leathering it 280 yards, that somebody would guess.
I do remember, though, back in the early 90s, which you'll laugh at, there was some commentary on TV.
Maybe.
And Steve Richardson was hitting it 275 yards. Not flying it, hitting it.
Sure.
Right? And he was probably 25 yards longer than anybody else.
On average.
If he struck 275.
I think he was the long driver in the European Tour one year with 275 average.
And
he was monstrous, was he?
Yeah, when you think 275, I mean, there wouldn't even be 115th on the money list now with that average.
But look, they're hitting six irons 210 yards on the fly. That's the fastest six.
Well, that's all right. I accept fitness, the clubs are better, but the ball.
The clubs are also stronger.
Yes, sir.
You know,
NASA are involved in the ball, and they don't learn anything.
It's an old 5-iron.
Yeah.
So you know you're getting another 10 yards there straight away.
Yeah.
And the way they can build where they put the weight in the back of the club, you're getting the 6-iron flight with a 5-iron loft. It's win-win, isn't it? Mm. It's a dream. It's great for amateurs, but the average amateur golfer, I know we're digressing, we haven't talked a jot about the Nedbank final round yet, but the average amateur golfer hasn't got any better.
That's a very good point.
You know, that's amazing. With all the R&D and all the light-headed clubs and all the distance the ball goes and everything else, the average amateur player has not improved.
No.
Nedbank Golf Challenge. Final round. How hard a golf course is that, Johnny, to either hang on to a lead or make some progress on?
I think it's incredible. I couldn't believe the scoring, actually. I mean, the golf course was at 7-8, but the ball goes further out there because of the altitude and everything. But nevertheless, I mean, Fleetwood, when you think he made 3 eagles in 6 holes, he's 7 under after 10 in the final round starting, 5 under going out. Having to do it, Lombard was leading. You miss it. There's plenty of trouble on that golf course.
Look, plenty. I've played it. It's a difficult golf course.
That
tee shot, the third, is a horror.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe one of the hardest shots in golf itself, that tee shot.
That's why you saw the last group. They're all hitting irons up there, aren't they?
Yeah.
And going in with longer second clubs.
But it shows how good the players are now.
Very good.
It doesn't matter what you put in front of them. They'll find a way to get round. And Fleetwood did that in the last round.
I think the other thing is, we were discussing those cloverleaf greens earlier. Because in that final round now, we know where those pin positions are. Some of those greens are effectively tiny.
Mm.
Like fifth, they are small greens, small targets.
They're small, but because of where they put, like the 14th, that's a tiny space.
Yeah.
It's a tiny space within a small green. The same on 15, that little tongue at the back.
Mm.
Coming down the stretch, because Louis Oosthuizen was right in there with 4 or 5 to go. He finished with four bogeys in 5 holes. He collapsed. Tommy Fleetwood was steadfast, so was Marcus Shinault. It looked like for the closing, the most important part of the tournament, it was between those two.
Well, he bogeyed 11 and 12 Fleetwood after eagling 10.
Yeah.
He chucked in 2 bogeys.
Well, if you think he had 3 eagles and then he shot 7 under, he didn't play that great for the rest of the round.
Well, it's a pretty special round of golf, but no, he did. He got 7 under after 10 and then chucked 2 bogeys in and went out the lead.
It's hard. That stretch, I mean, 16, 15, 16, 17, 18, there's no gifts there. It's hard to play those few holes under par.
Absolutely. That 18th.
Hardest hole in the course, isn't it?
Oh, flick, what are we going in with 6 irons?
Yeah, that's off a good drive.
And do you see the flag on 18, where it was?
It's always there. Over that bunker.
But there's barely room for a picnic.
I think, from back in the fairway, you think you couldn't get a picnic blanket. Once you get up on the green, you think there's plenty of room for a picnic, honestly.
Yeah.
You get the whole stuff laid out there, all your stuff, everything you packed, all out there. Loads of room, and around it.
Nightmare putting with the rug and cups and stuff.
Well, how about where the 2 tee shots finished on that last hole? Chenault left tree snapper.
Yep.
And Tommy hit it well, but pushed it slightly and
shanked his second.
Finished in a very awkward spot.
Very, very awkward position. It wasn't a shank, really, was it? It was just a horrible position.
Give that a bit of a shank.
Well, yeah. he's on a hook lie.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that he's under when he hits it. He's an under guy, and he's not like an over and on top of it type kind of a guy. So it's a nasty shot for one of those.
But what a third shot into the green. Spectacular.
This is what we're now in the playoff now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Out of that rough, I can tell you, it's horrible. Oh, could kill you.
And actually, I tell you who also played a brilliant shot from the rough was Chinholt's approach to the 17th. In regulation play, when he'd sprayed his tee shot right.
That's a scary shot.
Yeah.
It's a very scary shot, that second in there, if you're not in the fairway. Scary on the fairway.
Mm.
Really, really. That's a hole that they changed for the better.
Yeah.
Pushed the tee out more so you got more water to carry and made the green.
Because the green used to be almost blind, didn't it? And to the right of where it is.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then really
469's average is good around there.
Fantastic. Fantastic story.
Average.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's really, really good. I think it's a great golf course. I don't know why more people don't go down there.
No, I know.
$2.5 million first prize.
Well, because there's so many big tournaments. Like, they can't play every week. They don't want to play every week. And they think, I'm not going. And that must be the reason. Ram didn't go, did he? Rose didn't go.
No, Shane Lowry didn't go.
Lowry, Garcia.
Rory didn't go.
No.
And I suppose ultimately what they must be thinking is...
They've all got too much money.
It's difficult not to to make that conclusion. But they, to some degree, they must also be thinking they've got to try and maximise their performance, and they feel that if they play too often, actually their performance is going to drop. So, I'm trying to put a different spin on this.
I know, but because it's at the end, yeah. there is... It's patchy now, but before we get to New Year.
Yeah.
So you could kind of push the envelope a little bit.
I think so,
because
yes.
Everything's ramped up. The money goes up. The points go up with a chance
to be
the top
go. He didn't go.
I know.
No. He's going to Dubai and he can't win the rest of Dubai now.
Yep. That's right. Yeah. Rory knew very well that if Wiesberger had any sort of finish anywhere, it would be almost impossible. And now it's proved to be impossible for him to get past him. He needed help. So when he turned up in Dubai... Mathematically,
he could.
With a poor performance from those in front of him, he could get past them all with a win. That now can't happen. So you make your own luck. Mm. You know, he took that on board when he didn't play these 2 weeks.
Mm. Ultimately, you can't avoid the fact that what that means is that these guys have got enough money. They don't need to be incentivized by money. So what is the thing that's going to get them to play?
Well, it's never going to change. That's how it is in sport. It's never going to change.
Yeah, they're all multi-millionaires. Mm. The ones you're talking about. They're all multi, so they just go where they want, do what they want. And Bernd Wiesberger is the guy who by far at the top there has played the most tournaments. I mean, if you look at the tournaments played, which Johnny will tell us, 28 tournaments, Bernd Wiesberger. Tommy's in second spot and he's played 17 tournaments. Mm. John Rahm's played 12. Lowry's played 14. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 19. And I think Rory's played 12. So Bernd Wiesberger, who's in front of John Rahm, in first position to Rahm's third, has played 16 more tournaments than John Rahm.
Well, interestingly, look at this. Last year, the top seven, none of them played 20 events.
Yeah, but the events that they're playing are huge. Yeah. WGCs, majors.
Rolex Series,
premier events. So the money that's up for grabs, if you play well in those 20...
As Tommy said yesterday, after his win, you know, he's proud that he's secured his... family's lifestyle and their future, and that's kind of, you know, he's thinking about it from
well, they must live like the Kardashians. I mean, he's had plenty for a long time.
I think he's probably just he put the gloss on it. I think Tommy's, you know, doing very well.
Oh, he is.
And making a nice living, and I'm a huge Tommy Fleetwood fan. Really, really, really down to earth, no edges to him whatsoever. Top bloke. I couldn't be more pleased for him because he hasn't been great this year. He's not had the season he would have wanted. He finished second at the Open.
Yeah.
But he hasn't really, you know, everyone talks about Thomas and, yeah, but where are the Ws? Where are the wins?
Well, I think I was totting it up 19.
So maybe he goes on a run now,
yeah,
winning, because that's his next thing.
Yeah, I think he's had 19 top 10s since he had his last victory in Abu Dhabi sort of a couple of years
ago. So you see him a lot, but he doesn't close out a lot. Mm. This was a big. I think that was
a
big round
thing
for him
to do, though. So many good players around, you know, to stand up above anybody else and keep getting a win. There's so many good players around now. You know, it's a very fine line.
We should hear from Tommy Fleetwood, shouldn't we? Yes. I'd say we have digressed a fair amount, but he's got to be absolutely thrilled with himself and the performance that he put in to win in Sun City. Here's Tommy.
Tommy, your fifth European Tour win comes in the Nedbank Golf Challenge, Africa's Major, your second Rolex Series win, and it carries a first prize of $2.5 million. Try and sum it up for me.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, that kind of sums it up.
Yeah, I mean, the money's not that important, obviously. Like, I guess being a golfer these days, you have the chance at a young age to set your family up for life. And
that's fine. Take a moment. It's very emotional. 22 months since your last win. I know how much you've wanted it with all those top tens.
Yeah. No, I'm just very proud of that, really. And everybody that goes on the journey with you constantly. It's just really, really cool when you win a tournament. It really is. And chopped it down 18 then. And, you know, I hit a great shot there and you stand over those putts and you never really know what's going to happen. You just have to stand up and hit them. It's great.
Started the day six shots behind. An incredible round that you played. Three eagles, four birdies, one of which came from a bounce backward off a sprinkler head. Try and tell us what you were thinking, what you were feeling as it unfolded and in the playoff.
Yeah, I was getting more and more nervous. I think after yesterday, played all right yesterday, and I came in and there was a stretch in the middle, like 11, 12, 13. I had like a good birdie chance on 11, missed a short one on 12 for par 13, hit two perfect shots, went over the back and kind of come off and you were disappointed, but looked at that and I thought if it was two shots better on a tough day, it feels like completely different. And it was just, we went and putted last night at like 5:45, sort of went away, come back, putted before dinner. And, you know, today I actually made a great up and down on one and I made a great up and down on three. And, you know, without those, the day can be completely different. You know, the eagles come, got a bit of luck. I didn't really realise that we'd had that bit of luck on 15. Felt like it a great putt on 16 that just missed. And 17 and 18, I was proud of how I played those holes, really, when, you know, you're leading and they're tough holes. It's weird looking back on a tournament, but, you know, it's all said and done now and happy days, really.
This victory sends you shooting up the Race to Dubai into a position where you can win the Race to Dubai again. You did it in 17 and you told me on Friday that that was a wonderful experience for you, one that you really relish. How excited to have that chance again next week?
Yeah, like I say, it's an absolute privilege and to get to the last event with a chance of winning the Race to Dubai. It's an amazing thing to have on your career and it's one of the things I'm most proud of. It's ages away now. We've got this and tonight to deal with, and you know I'll start thinking about next week at a later date. But all the same things apply. You know, just the closer it gets to the end of the season, the harder it gets to look at. You know, stay in the present, do your things. You know, concentrate on what you do best. And I'm happy for the challenge. I feel like I'm very ready. I mean, I might go out next week and play terrible, but you know what? It's golf, and this experience will live with me forever. So, great.
For Tommy now with the win, it's a chance to win the whole lot.
Yes. And it's amazing how that result will change how he feels about the whole year. Because he was very upset after Portrush. He was a fascinating figure in the media centre after I don't think he felt like he gave a strong enough performance in the final round at Portrush. That was the impression I sort of got. But it kind of hurt, and I've never really seen him quite so upset. And I think that's kind of lingered on a little bit.
The weather at Portrush, though, I mean, the Seagulls didn't get airborne on that last day. It was a nightmare. I mean, it was a complete lottery. Brilliant playing from Lowry, but for somebody else to come and make a charge in that weather was virtually impossible.
Like I say, huge Tommy fan. I think he's a brilliant golfer. And
I thought there was a really lovely touch, actually.
Yes, he has got the common touch. There's no doubt about it.
Well, as he walked to the final green...
People gravitate towards him.
And as he walked to the final green in regulation, you know they have to branch out across
that
the water.
That pathway.
Yeah, and there was a little kid asking for an autograph.
Yeah.
Obviously, the wrong moment. But Tommy didn't just sort of ignore him. He just said, oh, I'll see you afterwards. I'll get it. Lovely little touch. Yeah. Classic him.
The Jimmy White of golf.
No, he's not Jimmy White of golf. He's not.
No, but how the public adore him.
No. I was thinking about this the other day, you know. If you're a British sportsman or woman, if you get to the very top of your tree, your profession, you've done it despite being English or British, because we as a nation knock people that are brilliant, people that, you know, was Faldo ever popular? Is Lewis Hamilton popular? Was Stephen Davis popular? The guys that were absolutely brilliant and cold-hearted, you know, killers at their sport. Our public doesn't gravitate towards that. We gravitate towards the Jimmy Whites and the Ronnie O'Sullivans and the Frank Brunos and the Eddie the Eagles. We like those guys, the Paul Gascoignes. We like the flawed guys. But when we produce somebody, Andy Murray, somebody that is absolutely brilliant at what they do, but that's what they are, that's the essence of what they are, they've done it despite being British, I think. If those people I've mentioned, the Faldos and the Hamiltons and the Andy Murrays, if they were American, they would be just enormous superstars. But we knock them. I don't know why that is.
I think in Australia they call that the tall poppy syndrome. And I think it's a subtly different thing to what you're saying,
we like to knock, don't we? Anyone
underdog.
Ian Poulter.
I think we like the underdog.
He's a bit flash. You know, Raheem Sterling, he's a bit flash.
Yeah.
Anyone that's really superb at what they do, we as a nation find a way to knock them and try and knock them.
Well, they're
doing a bit too well. But in America, they would be super highly fated.
I think a lot of people...
They love a winner. We don't love a winner.
When they see success, they like to find something wrong with them, not see the brilliance in them.
Or you could argue, Rob, that what we're doing as a nation is we're looking at the character of the person, not actually what they achieve. So you could say you could actually look at that as a positive, because we're looking at people and we're thinking, yeah, they deal with life well, like them.
Well, the people I'm talking about that have that sort of level of public adoration haven't dealt with life well.
Now, the ones that have been brilliant, that have had to work really, really hard at it, say, like Faldo, you could use Poulter.
You could use Monty, couldn't you?
Monty. I mean, I've heard people... And Monty was very, very average when he was younger. I grew up with Monty, but what a career he had is that the people that I've heard say, well, he's so miserable when he's playing. I said, well, if you want to go and see a comedian, go to North Pier in Blackpool. You don't want somebody hit a golf ball. If you want to see somebody hit a golf ball and tell you a joke, you're at the wrong event.
Monty's always fascinated me because he gets huge crowds, because people don't warm to him, but they love watching him because he's so visual. I don't think there's a more visual golfer I've ever seen.
You speak to somebody who's done a corporate day with Monty and they will say he's absolutely brilliant. I mean, Monty can turn it on like you cannot believe.
I've done loads of them. He's the best.
There's about six Montys.
He was the first guy I ever commentated on, and we're in Germany for radio, going up the first. I got both my cans on, big mistake. You should have one off so you can hear yourself. And I go, 179, breeze off the right. He's playing with Woods and Westwood. And he's over it, flapping his arms, and then he turns around and he goes, John, I can hear you. So I unclipped my mic and went, are you enjoying it, Colin? And he just gave me one of his scowls.
Is there more? Is that it?
No, but it's just typical Monty.
I really thought that was going somewhere. No, okay. So bringing it back to Tommy Fleetwood, he's managing to walk two-footed, bolt upright on the edge of the fence, because he is not only a brilliant golfer, but also has that part to his character that people warm to.
Yeah.
So he's the antithesis of what I was saying, really. He's very unique.
Correct.
Finished with rounds of 69, 69, 73 and 65 with the three eagle final round. Fifth European Tour win. First win since, as you said, January 2018. Yep. You'd be mighty relieved about that, because when you're as good as he is, that's what you want to start racking up. He's made 41 consecutive cuts, which...
is a lot.
That's a lot on the bounce.
Mentally.
It's a lot on the bounce. It means your standard of play, because most weeks the cut is under par, your standard of play for that length of time is astonishingly high. And thus far, the $2.5 million prize fund that he won was the biggest prize to date. Mm. It'll be matched and beat. It'll be beaten next week in Dubai in European Tour history.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot.
It is irrelevant to the players that are competing for it, because they haven't got plenty.
It's never irrelevant because they turn up for prize money and for appearance money. It's never irrelevant.
Sorry for talking while you're interrupted.
That's all right. Well, makes sense then.
It is irrelevant to them because they've all got Brewsters. The thing is that the purse is absolutely enormous, and with the title comes a massive purse.
So money's irrelevant to me. I don't care about money. So I'll actually turn up, and I don't want appearance money.
I don't want paying. I'm
just coming for what I earn this week on the golf course. I don't want any extra because money's not important to me. What a load of rubbish.
True, but compare and contrast Tommy Fleetwood and Marcus Chinnock last week. Yeah. It would have made... the money was a much bigger issue for Marcus than it was for Tommy.
Of course.
So in that sense, it didn't matter as much to Tommy. I'm agreeing with you, but it makes Marcus's performance even more impressive, because that must have been a huge
biggest ever check.
Shadow over his...
biggest ever check. Yeah. It was just under $1 million, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Big check for
Marcus. I fancied Detry to win last week, but unfortunately closed with a 74.
Well, he's another one... He's another beautiful-looking golfer, Thomas Detry.
Something missing at the moment. All right, he's won the World Cup with Thomas Peters, but I would have expected him to have won by now.
Just do you know what? He's a lovely guy. He's a super nice guy. The Belgians are good.
It's
Thomas
irrelevant.
Peters is a lovely
he's a nice guy.
Just getting to the point. The point is he too nice?
I don't know.
Has he got that little bit of devil that you need in you? I don't know, Thomas Detry. He's. I don't know, is he too nice?
But I thought there was also a little element. He was quite pumped up on Saturday.
Good.
And it's almost... but no, he almost... like he was too pumped up too quickly. He almost like he peaked a little bit.
Wrong day.
I'll tell you another one who was up there. Oh. And Xander Lombard. That's the fourth time he's led going into the final round.
He was the last man in. He was the last man to get into that tournament and then had a chance.
But it was
to
a bit odd as well.
With...
he was also the first man in, wasn't he?
Yeah, but think of the pressure. Think of the pressure, because... if you turn $2.5 million US into Rand, all of a sudden you become better looking.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Let's hear from Marcus Chinnock. 68 in the end wasn't enough to take the title, but it was a really, really good final round.
Yeah, I must say I'm proud. Did all we could and shot a good score today. Got into the playoff and made a silly bogey, but I'm happy with the week and how I played. So it's a good week, but losing is not always fun, but Tommy deserved that. So great up and down and great champion.
That said, this moves you into the top 10 on the Race to Dubai, heading into the DP World. I mean, how much does that now refocus into maybe like positives of going into the bonus pool and obviously finishing the season on that high?
Yeah, well, I haven't thought about that. I mean, we were 35th going into this week, so I guess this secures a couple of things for next year, but yeah, I love coming to Jumeirah and I really look forward to that. It will be a good week, I hope.
How much have you enjoyed your second trip here to Nedbank, considering obviously last time I think you were around the 70th position to become runner-up? In the four rounds of golf you put together, what positives can you take?
Yeah, it's quite an improvement, isn't it? So yeah, that's good. I look forward to come back next year, hopefully, and see if we can do better. But yeah, I'm happy this week, and especially how last year turned out with that last place finish and stuff. So I think we're learning every time we come here, and yeah, I look forward to next try.
He's a brave little player, you know. I just still remember a 12-footer he made in the last green at Hillside to win when Matt Wallace missed and was berating himself. With all that going on, he just stood up there and just waltzed it straight into the middle of the hole. Really impressive.
He's not a drama queen, is he?
Well, no, plainly he's a very good golfer, but he has had an inconsistent streak up until last week. Pretty much from Hillside. He hasn't played any good.
Well, I think he had three top 20s coming into this week, but he hadn't had a top 10 since that victory.
Yeah.
Talking about his tough streak, I think the fact that he drained that putt for his bogey was pretty impressive. I mean, that was a nasty little putt, but he just nailed it in the back of the hole.
In the playoff, beautiful putt, and made Tommy have to beat him.
Was also an awkward putt from the side he was coming on.
But what a beautiful chip shot he played.
Yeah.
It was a tremendous up and down from Tommy Fleetwood. He'd be thrilled. Now, Chanel finished second, losing in the playoff to Tommy. Another talking point might be Lee Westwood, who just seems to love this golf course. And in the end, he finished sixth, but he was frustrated by some aspects of his game.
A lot of good putts that just wouldn't go in today. So, you know, in general on the week, played the 13th hole in four over par, which is no good. Didn't play the par fives well enough. And second round, I had to have four penalty drops. So, you know, that's cost me the tournament.
That said, how much have you enjoyed your titled events this week?
Yeah, I always enjoy coming to Sun City. It's a great place. Great place to play golf. Fun place to be. And, you know, always have a good time. Look forward to coming back next year.
Obviously, another top 10 this week. How much confidence does that give you going ahead into the DP World and where your game's at?
Yeah, it gives me a lot of confidence. It's as good as I've played all year. So, just going to keep working on the things with Robert Rock that we've been working on. And, you know, hopefully it'll just keep getting better. You know, 10th last week, 6th this week, looks like. And hopefully even better next week. So, I'm looking forward to Dubai and playing well again.
He's still a beautiful golfer, Lee Westwood. We did a split screen in Turkey of Lee Westwood 10 years ago and Lee Westwood now, both driver, both starting the film at the same time with a split screen, and pretty much you could have overlaid one on top of the other. Nothing has changed in 10 years. It was incredible. All right, a little flexibility perhaps because he's 10 years older, but the timing and the path of the club and everything was unbelievably exactly the
same. That's quite unusual, actually.
It was incredible, John.
Yeah, because you would invariably see, with all players, they tinker and try and change things. He says he's working on a few things with Robert Rock.
There'll be tweaks, though. It's not major surgery.
No, of course it's not major surgery, but it's the mental side as to whether you also how much your swing stands up, because I can think of players that have changed stuff over the years and ruined themselves and never got it back. Mm. Never got it back from what their best way of swinging the club was.
I'm going to put something to you now. I was thinking last night, again, dangerous, dangerous thing to do. If you could combine a golfer to make a better golfer, so, you know, thinking all with Lee, his, generally speaking, his tee to green game is phenomenal and probably doesn't make as many as others. If you twinned him with Jordan Spieth, what sort of a player have you got?
An exceptional one.
If you twinned Zach Johnson with Louis Oosthuizen,
he'd make the four ball.
What sort of a golfer would you got? You're not getting this, John, are you? No. It's a bit too cerebral for you, but don't worry. I'll go with Matt on my right.
I sometimes wondered if that ought to be a format for
you know, because everyone's got things that other people can't do.
Whereas you just like say to...
If you had Zach Johnson's grit and, you know, his fight and put him in Louis Oosthuizen's body with the swing, if you could marry those two together, you'd have a world beater.
Yes. And
you're free to give me any others that you can think of.
I can't off the top of my head, but what would you reckon if you had a tournament where...
This is all way beyond John. See how quiet he's gone now. It's lovely, isn't it?
Lee Westwood hit the regulation shots and then left it to Jordan Spieth on and around the greens. Would that work as a format?
I was giving Jordan the not only the putter, but also the around the green stuff. I was giving that to him and the long game to Lee Westwood.
Yeah. But would that work as an alternative to, like, foursomes?
But, you know, Westwood's had an unbelievable career. Jordan Spieth's won majors. You can't... I'm just saying, if you combine them, just a sort of little project for yourself, if you combine them, would you have an unbelievable player?
Yes, you would. And also, we might have lost one of the great stories because Lee might have got into the... might have set a target that neither Tom Watson nor Stuart Sink could have reached at Turnberry in 2009.
Well, Lee would have won. Lee was unlucky there, wasn't he? I mean, in front of the green. He had, to be honest, it wasn't an easy two-putt. Mm.
If you'd had...
He drove it left into the trap in 09.
And then greened it.
And then hit it on the front.
Great shot.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I don't remember it coming out the bunker.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
And then he was 50 feet away. I mean, it was a
tee shot that put him under pressure, really.
It was not.
Watson was unlucky. His ball hit... I stood 10 yards from him when he hit that second shot, pitched in the perfect place. Perfect place.
Tom Watson?
Yeah.
Oh, he's super unlucky.
Super unlucky. Yeah.
And there's no other club he could have hit.
No.
He's 20 yards short with a wedge.
But I was...
9-9 he had to hit, and it was...
When I brought that subject up, I wasn't just thinking about what happened on the 72nd hole for Lee Westwood, but assuming if he had Jordan Spieth chipping and putting for him, he would have been out of sight before then, possibly. That's what I was kind of thinking.
Yeah, look, you know, eventually, it's very fine margins. Mm. Unless you do a Rory 8-shot win somewhere, or a Tiger 12-shot win, whatever it is.
Imagine Rory with Spieth's short game. Mm. Especially his putting. He'd be unbeatable.
You know, I think Rory's putted well this year.
He's not comparable to Spieth.
Yeah, he is. He totally is.
No,
he totally is.
Well, maybe
have you had a look? Rory's putting stats are better than Spieth's.
From the distance he hits it into, he probably doesn't hole as many as he should. I don't think Spieth hits it into the same proximity as Rory, and I would definitely not have him down as good a putter visually to look at. Like Westwood, never really missed the green, but didn't hole his fair share. But people said he was a bad putter. Okay. He wasn't a bad putter. He was a great iron player.
Rory can miss putts. He can miss putts, but he never looks iffy. Jordan, to me, at times looks iffy with a putter.
Mm.
Rory can just miss putts, but he doesn't look like he's
twitchy.
On the edge of the heebie-jeebies. But Jordan sometimes does look like that to me. However, historically, Jordan's round the green game has been pretty stellar.
Yeah, but the putting, you can't keep holding from 40, 50 feet and those ridiculous snaking left to right from 25. You can't do it. It's not going to happen. Nobody's ever done it right through their career.
Good week for Robert McIntyre, the left-hander, Scotsman, playing some superb stuff and leading the way for the Rookie of the Year honour. He finished tied eighth. It's been a good old race, though, isn't it?
Very good.
Kitayama's been excellent. Yeah.
He's won twice
Perez
and not going to win.
I went and followed the pair of them in Turkey just have a little look. And really impressive character, McIntyre.
Mm.
He's great fun to watch. One of the most enjoyable modern players.
It's a bit like Tommy. I love watching Robert McIntyre. And it's Robert or Bob, but it's not Bobby.
That's correct. Yeah.
I've confirmed that with him at your favourite spot, the interview spot, the stump. Yeah. The stump in Turkey. And he said, yes. He said, my mother calls me Robert, my pals call me Bob, but nobody calls me Bobby. So there we are. There it is. Okay, John, top 10, please.
Okay, so Tommy Fleetwood won in a playoff from Marcus Chenault. Then Thomas Detry third with Jason Scrivener, Bernd Wiesberger sixth. Louis Oosthuizen, who I was a little bit surprised didn't win that title, with Lee Westwood defending champion. Then eighth, tied Xander Lombard and Robert McIntyre, we've just been talking about. Then 10th, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Joost Luiten from the Netherlands and Kelly Samoyer.
OK, last week's predictions. The format is you get two picks. One has to be outside last year's top 50. That doesn't really count in these final three tournaments. So you get two picks, 20 for a winner, points that is, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, minus 5 for a missed cut. Paul Eales, in your seat, Johnny Hawksworth went for Justin Harding, 0 points, and Erik van Rooyen, 0 points. They finished 48th and 30th, respectively. Dan Roebuck, in my seat, went for Westwood, 5 points, and Matt Fitzpatrick, 5 points, a total of 10. At last, Dan Roebuck's coming through with a bit of gravy. And Jack Hayward, who was in your seat, Matt, went for Louis Oosthuizen, 5 points, Kurt Kitayama, 0 points. So overall, with 1 week to go, 200 points to the presenters, co-presenters 150, guests up to 175 points. So the guests have taken on beautifully the role of the co-presenter and beaten them at their own game.
Yeah.
But you have a chance for a crescendo finish, Johnny, with a first prize of $3 million in the DP World Tour Championship. So in the fantasy race to Dubai game, Lee Finlay still leads with 42,578 points. But it's not about the points. The weekly title went to David Molloy and his team Forlorn Hope, which included both Tommy Fleetwood and Marcus Shinault. If you want to get involved, just head to europeantour.com. Johnny, top 10 in the race to Dubai, which is coming. It's boiling up and coming to a head.
Well, it's led by Bernd Wiesberg at the moment from Tommy Fleetwood, John Rahm third, Shane Lowry fourth, Matthew Fitzpatrick fifth, Rory McIlroy sixth, can't win it now, Matt Wallace seventh, Tyrrell Hatton eighth, Louis Oosthuizen ninth, and Eric Van Rooyen tenth.
So just explain what can happen next week, Johnny.
Well, there's only five can win it now because of the money total that's up for grabs. In difference between points that the top five have got, theoretically, any of those top five could win it.
So just remind us who they are.
They would Bernd Wiesberger 1, Tommy Fleetwood 2, John Rahm 3, Shane Lowry 4, and Matthew Fitzpatrick. And then Rory is sat in 6th.
So one of those five players will be the Race to Dubai champion for 2019. Yep. One of those five will be, because it can be nobody else.
Yeah, correct.
Right, thank you. Now, in other news, Solheim Cup news. Katrina Matthew has been given the chance to retain the Solheim Cup after being chosen to captain Europe for the second time in a row. The 50-year-old Scot led her team to victory, an unbelievable win, by the way, in Gleneagles over the United States in September. She will be captain again at Inverness Golf Club in Toledo, Ohio, 2021. Were you there? You might have been there, Matt, actually.
I was up at Gleneagles, yeah.
It's pretty special, wasn't it?
It was fantastic. And there was a guy called Richard Gillis, a journalist. He wrote a book a few years ago called The Captaincy Myth. And he argued that in the Ryder Cup and Solheim Cup, the captain is largely irrelevant. They get a lot of praise when they do fantastically. But on the whole, he said...
Basically, if you win, you're a great captain. If you lose, you're a bad captain, which cannot be true.
Yeah, exactly. But... in this case, I think Katrina Matthew was responsible for one of the great captaincy coups when she pulled Suzanne Pettersson out of maternity leave. Just astounding. Just first of all, just to have thought of it, possibly. But then what she did was she created a brilliant atmosphere.
But also, you could argue, lack of depth.
Completely.
It was almost like a no-brainer.
Yes, I would not doubt that at all.
Right.
But I think there are other captains who would not have thought of that. Once she decided that was what she was going to do, she was very astute in when she announced it both to Suzanne Pettersson herself, but also her team. Because if she'd said to Suzanne, I want you in, start playing in May, if Suzanne had played terrible golf, the idea would have frittered away. She almost didn't give her enough opportunity to find out whether she was in form or out of form. She just thrust her
into... No time to panic, yeah.
Yeah, she just thrust her straight into the match. Tremendous bit of captaincy, but I agree with you, yes. I mean, one of the principal reasons why she had to do it was...
Solheim Cup experience, she's got youngsters in there, and she's good in the team room.
Yeah.
She is feisty, she's got a lot of fire, Suzanne, and... If you're going to retire on a high, what a way to do it
and
with the putt that she holds.
Yeah, she'll be one of the vice-captains for Katrina Matthew in 2 years' time.
She's a Solheim Cup captain in waiting, I would have thought.
You would think so, yes.
Suzanne, yeah.
But Katrina is now hoping to do what nobody's ever done before. So none of the European captains have won at home and then gone
retained,
and defended it.
Retained in America.
Overseas.
Yeah. It's very difficult to do.
That's a big ask in America.
Of course it is, yeah. But
it's got to be worth at least a point at home. Over the period of the match, which you think, well, that's not very much. Massive. It's absolutely massive. But I think she's got all the credentials to do it.
Katrina said winning the Solheim Cup in Scotland was a dream come true, but backing that up with a win in America would be even better. I was lucky enough to be part of the first European team to win on US soil at Colorado Golf Club in 2013. That's not that long ago. It's only a few years ago.
6 years ago.
And so...
We just mentioned that Europe's got a slight lack of depth. The Americans are in the same situation a little bit, so it's not a fearsome prospect. I think they've got a good chance.
Very good. She's the right person for the job, no doubt about that. Katrina Matthew, many congratulations on the win this year and the captaincy for the next one in 2021. John, top 10, please, in the world.
Top 10 in the world.
Come on, be enthused. Don't
we love that? Well, it's still led by Brooks Koepka from Rory McIlroy. Dustin Johnson third with Justin Thomas fourth. John Rahm fifth. Patrick Cantlay sixth. Tiger Woods now seventh.
Not Cantlay, it's just Cantlay.
Well, it is to me. Tiger Woods seventh. Justin Rose eighth. Xander Schauffele ninth. And Bryson DeChambeau tenth.
Thank you so much, John. Okay, the DP World Tour Championship. This is it. This is the last chance to shine on this year's European Tour. And it's at the Earth Course, which... It's a resort course. Norman designed it, but it's become a bit of a favourite. Everyone kind of likes it.
They do, but they're moving next year, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, everyone's got used to it.
I think it's great. It's like Abu Dhabi. I love it.
Are you a fan of the course?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you like it?
Well, it's interesting.
Did you play on a media day there?
No,
or something?
I've never played
there. I just wondered.
But it's interesting you're saying how the course they're playing in Mayakoba, that's also a Greg Norman course. So there's a little link there. There's a very sort of fondness for the sort of closing hole I've always had.
The par five, yeah, it's a beauty, isn't it? At 17 over water, that's a great par three.
Yeah. There was that a few years ago.
Coming down the stretch there, it's fun.
Yeah. Do you remember when Tyrrell Hatton chipped from one end of the bunker to the other and then chipped in for par? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
Didn't he also find the water one year as well and didn't win?
That was when Max Fitzpatrick won, I think, wasn't it?
But the bar left us 17 to screw.
The left bank, is it? They call it left bank?
I don't know, but I'll be stood there on Thursday afternoon and they're all kind of chained to each other. So if one goes, they all go.
Oiled up.
Oh, yeah, they've had a few oranges, yeah.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, it's great fun.
So 46 tournaments we've had so far in 31 countries.
Yes, on four continents.
But 31 countries.
Yes.
In a 12-month period of play on the European Tour is, I think, an extraordinary number.
Three countries a month, isn't it?
It's just unbelievable. And we'll be going back to Hong Kong once again for the Honma Hong Kong Open as soon as we're finished in Dubai.
Yeah.
We start again with the very next year.
Then South Africa.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, it's incredible. Jumeirah Golf Estates is a great place to be.
Yeah, it is.
So Bernd Wiesberger, as you said, has got 4,802 points. Tommy Fleetwood has got 4,079 points. There's 2,000 for the win. So Rahm can win at 3-8. Lowry can win at 3-6 and 3-3 for Matthew Fitzpatrick. Everything is all possible for those players. Do you think, Johnny Hawksworth, that the winner of the tournament wins the race to Dubai?
Not necessarily.
No, but I'm saying, do you think that will be the case? That whoever wins, in other words, one of those five players is going to win the final tournament?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think one of those five players, yeah.
I like it. Matt?
Yes, I agree. I've got my eye on one in particular.
Okay. Is he Spanish?
He's Spanish, yes.
Is he? Spanish and quite good.
Yes.
Well, yes, John Rahm, of course. And you see, this is his third appearance at this golf course, and he's never been ended around further than four shots off the lead. Mm-hmm. So he's always been in contention when he's been here. And well, I think that will continue.
Well, the top five we've talked about, they're the ones that can walk away with the title.
I am not picking someone out of the top five.
Well, I've told you mine. Don't tell me you're going to pick mine now. Well, let's hear from my pick. Rory McIlroy, who won just a few weeks ago in Shanghai. And if things had gone his way, or he'd have played more, he could be perhaps trying to win the race to Dubai, but that's not going to happen. However, he's looking forward to going there, no doubt about it.
I want to finish the season off as well as I can. I'm playing well, so hopefully I can turn up in Dubai and, you know, play well on a golf course that I've had success on and really finish the year off, hopefully the way that I've played all year, which is consistently good golf. And, you know, I really wanted to get another win for the end of the year, and now that I've done that, it would be nice to get two wins. You know, there's a lot of stuff that people don't see behind the scenes just in terms of hard work and you know, putting the hours in at home. But, you know, all of that, you know, it's not work really. It's, you know, playing golf for a living. So, you know, I'd be in trouble if I did have to work for a living. But it's, you know, to practice hard and to do all the right things, you know, makes it all worthwhile.
Is Rory another guy like Tommy Fleetwood that people gravitate towards?
Yeah.
I think so.
He's managed to do that difficult thing, which is marry the brilliance to a personality.
Yes, and I think probably what reveals that would be what I might almost like call my mother test. Is my mother aware of their presence in the world? She's always asking me. Literally, she asks me about Rory and Tommy. They're literally the only two. Oh, actually, she likes beef, but like that those are the three golfers she knows about and gives a damn about.
That's interesting, isn't it? So they've crossed the Rubicon for her.
Yeah.
They've reached a place where she sees them as... she obviously knows they're all very good golfers. I mean, does she know... Can she separate them as golfers?
I don't think...
Does she know the pecking order as golfers?
She wouldn't know much about... I mean, she knows that Rory's world number one. Yeah, but she's... well spotted. But she's aware that he's exceptionally good.
Right.
But those are the only three golfers who've really... She wouldn't have a clue who Brooks Koepka is, for example.
But more important, more salient than that, does she have a clue who John Hawksworth is?
No.
I think the new way of judging things is Matt's mum.
Great.
If Matt's mum has any idea that you're anybody, you've sort of made it. Tell us who else is playing then.
The defending champion, Danny Willett. Who's got
Hasn't he done well? Hasn't Danny done well? I'm really pleased with him because he was... death's door in a sporting sense. Yes. He kind of was there. He was in a terrible spot.
And it's extraordinary that he in American parlance, owns the two big tournaments of the European Tour. And he's got the BMW PGA Championship.
And Race to Dubai.
Yes, the two biggest. Imagine saying to somebody 18 months ago that would be the position he's in.
I did a golf day with him a week and a half before the BMW PGA Championship. And I was watching him hit it. I thought, it's a golf day, it doesn't matter.
But he was ripping it.
He was just hitting shots. I'm going to hit high draw in here. And he was calling it to order. And I thought, and he's working with Sean Foley, so he's doing this really strange move, which is just a feeling. He has changed his swing completely, where he used to pick the club up and set it very early.
He had a short swing. He's now swinging it a foot and a half longer than he used to.
And he's Larry Long.
Yeah, he always hit it a long way.
But his attitude has completely changed.
Good. he's a really good player. And it was a great win last year. Tremendous win. I try to think, was it his tee shot at 17 that was just beautiful?
To that Island Green.
Oh, yeah.
And he's winning the BMW PGA Championship. Brilliant. Pushed all the way. And he's won the BMW International. Of course, the Masters.
You know, he won the Masters and
that chip on 17. You could have 50 goes at that.
But I'm saying at the time, it didn't do him any favours in many ways because he was playing some really good stuff, wins the Masters, and then it can be a burden almost to be a major winner.
But the Ryder Cup was a nightmare with his
I think if he was to win another major now, he'd be off and running.
I think he also struggled with, as I would think anybody who wins majors, all of a sudden there are so many demands upon him. I mean, he's talked now that having had that experience, he knows what he'd say no to. He knows that he wouldn't exhaust himself through the summer that followed.
But they got managers for that. I think the thing that's difficult is your expectation of yourself. Mm. Is all of a sudden you put ridiculous expectations on what you should or should not be doing achievement-wise because you're now a major winner and that carries a certain amount of a level of success. And that's very difficult not to do. Mm-hmm. Well, God, I'm now that I'm teeing it up as the Masters champion, I should be doing, you know, Superman stuff. And it's very difficult to just keep doing what you were doing.
I think a lot of players have done it. A lot of players have done it. Where they've gone chasing the carrot and forgot what they're about.
No, I don't even mean maybe spreading yourself a bit thin with the wheelbarrow. I don't even mean
that. No,
I mean in terms of how you see yourself as a player.
Exactly.
And it can be detrimental.
Yeah.
If you are of that caliber of player, you're off and you're away. You're poof, see ya. And if you're not, but you've just had four amazing days, it can be a burden.
Yeah.
An anvil around your neck.
Yeah. And if you're aware of it, it becomes very awkward. A feeling
I'm a major winner, now I'm chopping.
I'm kind of not up to this.
It's horrendous, yeah. Horrendous. So Danny is the defending champion. Did you mention Garcia, Rose, Molinari, Westwood, Reed, Casey, Stenson? Did you mention all those?
I didn't know.
No, you could have done.
Well, there they are, though.
Well, I've just done it. Well, who's your winner? Come on.
I'll go for Larry.
Let's have the winner of the race
for Larry
and the winner of the tournament. So you're having Larry times two, then?
I'm having Larry to win it. And
so he wins.
Fleetwood.
No, he wins.
To play. I'm going to go for Larry.
Okay. So Shane Lowry to win the tournament and win the race to Dubai.
Well, it'll take care of it. Well, depending on other results.
Yes, if Wiesberger's second.
I'm going for Lowry to win it.
What, both?
I'm having Lowry times two.
Very good. Matt?
I'm going to go... Well, I've already spilled the beans, actually, haven't I? I've said that Jon Rahm is my pick, and I'm going to say he's going to
get... Times two.
Yeah, uno dos.
So I'm going to have Rory to win the tournament.
Yeah.
And Wiesberger to just stay out in front.
Well...
So you got Larry times two.
No, there's
you got
Rahm times two.
And I've actually split it up. I've gone Rory to win the tournament, and I've gone Wiesberger to...
We heard you the first time.
Thank you. The thing about the Earth course is the greens are normally fantastic.
Yes.
And the weather is normally fantastic.
Well, the forecast is not great this week.
Is that really true?
It's thunder, lightning Wednesday, and then for the rest of the week it's rain.
Rain?
Yeah, you know
they get about a millimetre of rain every 4 years then.
I have never seen it rain in 12 years I've been going to Dubai, but so I spoke to a lady yesterday.
You heard it on this podcast first. Jon Hawksworth has said they're looking forward to rain in Dubai. Is that correct?
They are saying that...
Go and get your app. Look it up in your app.
The forecast for...
From Thursday onwards, please.
For Dubai.
Yes.
Wednesday, thunderstorms. Thursday, thunderstorms. Oh, and then now it's changed. Nasty, warm, 30 degrees, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So it's perfect. So the Friday, Saturday, Sunday's perfect.
Well, it's called a forecast.
Is it changed?
So
Has it changed?
It's changed since...
So your ridiculous forecast of lashing with rain for the weekend
I
in
haven't
Dubai,
forecast
lashing
it.
With
I
rain
haven't
in Dubai.
Forecast.
You have.
Viewers, listeners, It's going to be interesting. I've never seen rain in Dubai. The last time I went to Qatar,
so,
well, it started raining.
Backwards. So Sunday perfect, Saturday perfect, Friday perfect. What a shock. What a shock. That's it for now. Remember, you can stay up to date with the latest news via European.com. And Johnny Hawksworth is still laughing. EuropeanTour.com and the official European Tour app, as well as Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, and any weather app you choose to use. Next week, we'll have a full review of the DP World Tour Championship and look back at a wonderful year of golf on the Race to Dubai. Is it almost 2020 already?
No, there's another month.
I'll tell you what, it's about, in golfing terms, it's about half an hour around the corner.
Yes.
But for now, from Matt Cooper, who's gone for?
John Rahm.
Both times, to win both?
Yes, to win both.
And John Hawksworth, who's now our new weatherman, and you've gone for, John?
Shane Lowry.
Have you got a new job with the Dubai Tourist Board? Have you? Is that coming your way?
I tell you, I'm taking my waterproof jacket.
Don't be silly. And I've gone for Rory McIlroy to win the tournament and Bernd Biesberger to get it done for the
good
year.
Good luck.
Goodbye from all of us. We'll see you next time.